Hello, friends. Thank you for tuning in to our weekly podcast from First United Methodist Church of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. I'm Drew Shelley, one of the pastors here. It is our hope and prayer that the message you hear today will help you connect deeply with the love of God we know in Jesus. Also, we'd love to connect with you so that we can share life and faith together. If you'd like more information about this church family, or if you want us to contact you, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at FUMC Borough. If you're looking for a place to belong, we have that place for you in one of our classes or small groups, as a part of one of our mission teams, or in either our modern or traditional worship services, which both meet at 10:15 on Sunday mornings. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the idea of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him for the transformation of Murfreesboro and the world. We hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Jesus in your life. We are moving right along through our worship and preaching series called Following Jesus in the Digital Age. We are listening carefully for what we can learn from Jesus and the disciples about what it means to follow Jesus in 2019. What does that look like here at Murfreesboro? How do we do it? How do we actually live it out? So we listen today to a story from Luke chapter 10 where Jesus sends out 70 or 72, depending on who you ask, disciples in mission in the world around where Jesus was. And so let's hear together from Luke chapter 10. We'll read verses 1 through 12. That's the sending out. That's the commissioning of the disciples. And then we'll skip over and read 17 through 20, which is the return of those 70. We'll see what happens as a result of their work. Let us hear the word of God. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace, peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide." What are we supposed to eat and drink? Whatever they provide. Whatever. Can you say that again? What if we don't like it? Do we have to eat it? I guess we do. "For the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' The kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near.' I tell you, on that day, it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town." And then we go to the return. Verse 17. "The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us.' Jesus said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read this story, I get Mormons on the mind. Anybody else get Mormons on the mind when you read this story? I just do. I can't help it. Two by two they go. They went out in pairs, carry no purse, no bag. Well, they usually do have a backpack, don't they, and a bicycle. But when I was in college, we had two Mormon fellas who were work in our neighborhood where I lived. I could always see them coming down the road from my house, the room where I studied. And so when I saw them coming, I would get up and lock the door and close the blinds and go back to whatever I was studying under my desk. I would get under my desk just so there was no way they could see me. Forget that my truck was out in the driveway, but I would be under the desk studying. Just hiding out, you know. One cold winter day, it was raining, it was nasty, just such a messy, bad day. I was really studying hard on some complicated stuff, and they snuck up on me, okay? I did not see them coming down the road, so I didn't go through my normal protocol. I went to the door, I heard them knocking. I went to the door, I opened the door, and these two boys were standing there just shivering, just shivering. "We'd like to talk to you about Jesus, the Western." It just shocked me. I thought, what are they? I said, I know what you want to talk about. Just come on in here. Come in. It's too cold to be outside here. Just come in and we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. Let's get you warmed up. I took them in the kitchen where my big gas furnace was. It was an old house and we had this one gas furnace. We stood around that and let them warm up and dry off a little bit. And I said, "Let me fix you some sweet tea." And they said, "No, thank you. We can't drink that." And I said, "Well, can I fix you some Dr. Pepper?" "No, we can't have that either. Thank you, but no thank you." And I said, "Well, what about some hot tea? I've got Earl Grey right over there. I'll fix you some." No, we can't have that. "No, thank you. Just make some coffee. I've got coffee. It's the kind with chicory in it because it's cheaper, but I got that. I can give you some coffee." "Well, we actually don't drink caffeine." And I said, "Oh, well, all I've got without caffeine is water, really. But I do have some hot chocolate. Could I fix you some hot chocolate? It doesn't have much caffeine in it." And they said, "Well, you know, I think we could get away with some hot chocolate." So I rummaged in the cabinet, and I found this little tin of hot chocolate powder that I know I had moved from my mama's house to college. It had been in my dorm room and in my house. It had been there 3 or 4 years, and who knows how long she had it in her cabinet, okay? So I fixed up some mugs of hot chocolate for them, heated them in the microwave, served them, and then I started mine heating because, you know, I don't want to let a chance to have hot chocolate go missed. So while mine was heating up, we started talking, and they started drinking their hot chocolate. One of them said, "Eat what is set before you," and smiled real big and just kept drinking. "Eat what is set before you." And I thought, well, that's an odd thing to say. Then I reached over and got my hot chocolate from the microwave and stirred it up, took a big swig. It was very grainy. I thought that something was wrong with it. And I looked in my mug. It was full of ants. Dead ants. Dead ants in my hot chocolate. I don't know how long they've been in there. I didn't know what to say, so I didn't say anything. I just let them keep drinking. They drank all of it. And they thanked me for my kind hospitality. And I said, "I think these boys have read Luke chapter 10 several times. They have got this figured out." Just on the heels of Jesus setting his face to go to Jerusalem, where all will be fulfilled, he sends out these 70 or 72 disciples in groups of two to go ahead of him to every town and place where he himself intended to go. They were really first wave missionaries preparing the way for Jesus who would be coming after them. Jesus appointed and sent these followers. That's what Luke tells us. He sent these followers. That word sent is very important here. In the Greek, it is apostello, apostello. Its root word, postello, means to try to avoid, The apostello means the opposite, to not try to avoid. And so it means to embrace this mission, to not try to avoid this mission. Jesus' ascending speech that he gives that we just read, it's good stuff, but it's tough stuff, isn't it? Jesus had some harsh words for us to hear. At first, we are thankful, maybe, that this just applied to the first century disciples and that we might get away without having to do this kind of stuff. But then we read on Luke 24 that God's new way must be proclaimed to all people, repentance and forgiveness of sins. Jesus says, you will be clothed with power from on high. We read on to Acts chapter 1. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We realize as we read those that this story is still unfolding, isn't it? The story is still unfolding. We 21st century disciples are just as much apostello as the first century disciples. So it is we find ourselves reading this and trying to understand this missionary work into which we are sent still today. The context is different. The culture is different. The world around us is very different. We may not be going from town to town, but instead from place to place. That's kind of how we do, isn't it? We go from place to place, from home to work to school to meetings to church to Walmart, back to home again, and we do it all over again the next day. You know how it works. Same apostello, same sent, but to different places, right? That's how it works. We listen carefully to Jesus' commissioning words. The harvest is plentiful, he says, plentiful. Pray for more workers. We need more workers. There's so much to do. And there is an urgency to it, isn't there? Jesus says, go, go with gentleness as sheep in the midst of wolves. Go lean, he says. No time for a bunch of baggage. No time for a bunch of ceremonial nonsense. Just go. Just go. You are sent. Just go. That's what Jesus says to us today. Our first job in this mission is to speak peace to every house, to every place where we go, every person. Not just any peace, though, but God's peace that is rooted in that Old Testament idea of shalom. You remember that word, shalom? That's God's peace. It is the peace that passes all understanding. It is the peace that brings wholeness, healing, salvation. It is that peace that seeks the well-being of all people. We are called to go and speak that kind of peace everywhere we go as a blessing to those around us, whether we know them or not. Then our second job is just to be with the people, to be with them, to eat with them, to be in their homes, their offices, their lives, to be with them. You love them, and you let them love you. That's how this works. That's what it means to be with the people. We share life together with all the vulnerability that we can muster. Just be with the people. Our third job, cure the sick. Did you hear Jesus say that? Cure the sick, heal the sick, help people find wholeness. That's what he's saying to us. Help people find wholeness. From where does wholeness come, though? Where do we find wholeness? Doesn't it come from knowing deeply that God loves us, that God believes the best about us, even when nobody else does? Wholeness is there. Wholeness is in that place. The cure for every sickness is in that place. How do we help people find wholeness? We share God's love together. That's how we do that. And then there is our fourth job. Say to the people, Jesus says, say to the people. We've shown them, but now we have to say to the people, the kingdom of God has come near to you. The kingdom of God has come near to you. What does that sound like in 2019? How in the world do you say that to people in your workplace and in your neighborhood and at Walmart? How do you say the kingdom of God has come near to you? We are inviting people into God's new way of being that seeks wholeness for all people, that believes the best about each other until it becomes true, not because it is already true. We're inviting people into God's new way that starts with love, not with hate or judgment or condemnation. Our job is to intentionally, specifically invite people into God's new way of life that looks very different than anything else that is offered by the world. Jesus also prepares us. As good as all this news is, as powerful as this work is, not everybody is ready to hear it. Did you catch that part? Not everyone desires peace, fellowship, wholeness, and God's new way. We must be prepared to risk rejection, to feel the pain of loss, and still to always respond with grace and love when we discover that people need more time, more space, perhaps another opportunity sometime later, but we must keep moving. Rejection can never stop the mission. Sometimes we just assume rejection. We assume it on the front end. I'm not going to say anything because I know it will be rejected. And we just ignore the mission, don't we? That isn't really okay either. The mission matters whether we assume rejection or not. We must still offer peace. We must be with. We must offer healing and wholeness. We must invite people into the kingdom of God. We must offer, whether we expect rejection or not. So I wonder, what would it look like for you to be sent to do this work out in the world this week? We know about being with people. We know how to do that. It's not always easy, but we know what it is. We know about wholeness too, don't we? We are hungry for wholeness. Just helping people know Jesus loves you and I do too, that's a start. Wholeness starts right there. Laughter helps. Offering a listening ear or a shoulder to cry on, we know how to do that. It's not rocket science. It's just being available to the people around us. Sometimes that's the healing that people need. We can do that. But what does it look like to speak peace, to speak peace into the lives of those around you? Not just any peace, but God's shalom into the lives of those around you. How might you speak peace to those around you this week? How might you do that? Take just a minute, turn to your neighbor, and let's figure that out together. Turn to your neighbor. How might you speak God's peace into the lives of those around you this week? I'm going to come down there and talk with you, if that's okay. But y'all go ahead and talk amongst yourselves just a little bit. How might you speak peace into the lives of those around you this week? Okay, what are we hearing? Anybody want to just call something out? Yes, ma'am, go ahead. Whenever her sister talks rude to her, she does not respond in kind. But instead, I think the best we got was, I'm just going to be quiet. So that's a kind of peace. What else? What else? How else might we? Yes, ma'am. That's beautiful. We can go to the neighborhoods around us, to our neighbors, and literally say, peace be with you to our neighbors around us. Have you heard someone outside of church walk up to you, Jane, and say, Jane, peace be with you? What does that do? It's great when it happens in church, but what about when you're in line at Walmart? It might feel a little religious, but you know it's something beautiful. It's a gift that God offers to us. Thank you very much. Yes, sir, back here. Be helpful and kind. That is a blessing of peace. Those are two characteristics of peace that are so powerful. Thank you, sir, to be helpful and kind. What else? What else? Adults, where are y'all? My goodness. Are we having trouble today or what? I don't know. How might we speak peace? Okay, let's ask a different question. Turn back to your neighbor. Here's a bigger question. How do we say in 2019, the kingdom of God has come near to you? How can you say that to your neighbor, to your coworker? How do you say that? Go ahead, talk about it. Let's get it figured out before we leave here today. What do we figure out? What do we figure out? We heard just to make sure and show it and to communicate with people in ways where they know that something is different around me. God is at work in this place. You can name that. Sometimes you can say, I see God at work in your life. I see God at work in this moment. What else? What else can we do? How else can we say? Yes, ma'am. The greatest proclamation of the kingdom of God is God loves you and so do I. That's the greatest proclamation. That's beautiful. Yes. How can I help you? Y'all are doing great. This is 4 for 4 right here in this corner. How can I help you? Here's another one. How can I pray for you? Not I'll be praying for you, but how can I pray for you? It opens a lot of doors to conversation and gives us a chance to say the kingdom of God is near to you. What else over here? We hadn't heard anything over here. Yeah. They've done such a good job over here. Thank you, Kitty. How else can we say the kingdom of God is near to you? This is a tough one, isn't it? The kingdom of God is a theological concept. It's hard to just talk about it in daily life. Do you have a church? You're asking, are you connected with a community of faith? That's important. Yeah. That's a great way. And then to say, we'd love to have you as part of our family. Yeah. Yeah. She ran into somebody last week that went to college with Shannon and me and invited him to church. And I heard about it before she got up here to tell me about it. So text messaging is even faster than Jane Campbell. I don't know how it worked out well. Yeah. Yes, sir. Oh, to name the action of God in the world. God has a plan for you. God has a hope, a dream for you. To name that is such a powerful thing. What we're doing is uncovering the layers of stuff that sort of hide the fact that the kingdom of God is unfolding all around us every single day. It is hard enough for we who do our best to follow Jesus to see that happen on a daily basis. Imagine if your most significant connection with God is when you go to worship on Christmas Eve. Imagine if it is the fact that you went to church twice with your grandparents when you were a child. It's still unfolding in your life, but it's really hard to see it unless someone comes along and says, hey, I think I see God doing something. I think I see God at work. I see something hopeful about your life, not just something desperate and bad and empty and all that. So powerful stuff, isn't it? Thank you all for having some conversation. Now, let's go do this stuff this week and see what happens. Let's see what happens. And when we come back together next Sunday, I want to hear what happened as we spoke peace into the lives of those around us. And as we said, in whatever way we find to say, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Such important words that Jesus gives us as commands. Verses 17 through 20, we hear the return of the 70 from the mission. And they are overwhelmed, aren't they? The disciples are so excited. They said, even the demons submit to us. Even the demons submit to us. Jesus says, oh yes, the evil one has fallen. He's done. I have given you power over all of his mess. Nothing will hurt you. Jesus says that to them. But then he also says, let's be clear about our rejoicing. We rejoice that God is with you. We rejoice not in what you do for God, but in what God does in and through you. That's the mission. And it matters so much to Jesus. We wonder why it matters so much to Jesus. I spent most of that afternoon with the hot chocolate and the ants with my Mormon friends. We talked about a lot of things, a whole lot of things. I was not successful in converting them to Methodism, and they were not successful in converting me to Mormonism. But I did ask them this. I said, How in the world can you give two of your best young years to this missionary work? How can you do that? How can you just give up everything for 2 years and do that? They thought for a long time, and one of them finally said, I guess it is because we love you and we want God's best for you. I thought to myself, why am I not out knocking on hearts for Jesus? After all, I've been sent too, and so have you. Let's pray together. Oh God, we give you thanks for the surprises of grace that you send our way. We give you thanks that you call us all into this work, into this mission, that we are all sent, that we are all apostello, that we are all called to not try and avoid your mission, but instead to embrace it with hope and joy, and to realize that we do it because you fill us with love for those around us. Open our hearts to that in new and powerful ways this week. We pray it all in the name of your Son, Jesus, and together we say, Amen.